long time ago, in a galaxy far, far away. Now, if you don't know what that is, I got no love for you. 1977 was the year that I was born. 1977 was the year that Star Wars hit the theaters. Needless to say, I was not there for opening that night. I would have to wait about, I'm going to say 8 years. It's fuzzy. I'm not quite certain when was the first time that I experienced a Star Wars. But I know that when it happened, most likely, it was in Mexico, in my parents' living room, and it was most likely in Spanish, because I don't think that I was ready to read subtitles back then. Either way, from the moment I sat down, crisscross applesauce, in front of the TV to watch this thing, and the fanfare started blaring on the screen, and the scroll started moving up and down, started moving up and away from me as the viewer, I was hooked. And I've been hooked ever since. For the last 30-somewhat years, Star Wars has made its way into my phrasing, my thought process, even to some degree my own mythology. But that's part of what this podcast is going to be about, is that the stories that George Lucas told on the screen have just become part of who I am. They are in my DNA. Now, a few weeks ago, I had posted on the Facebook that I was going to be taking a break from the Star Wars. Solo did not hit the mark. It was not a bad movie. If it had been named something else and the character hadn't been named Solo, I think I would have enjoyed it just fine. But it wasn't the Han that I grew up with. It was certainly not Harrison Ford. And although the actor who portrayed him did a fairly competent job, it just didn't hit the mark. It didn't have the cheekiness and the roguishness that Harrison Ford brought to that character. So I was underwhelmed by it. I will tell you that I tried to watch a few episodes of the Clone Wars, and they didn't hit the mark. I will say that episodes 1, 2, and 3 will never and have never been a favorite of mine. There's a few set pieces here and there that I think that are interesting, but overall, I think that they watered down the mythos that Lucas brought us back in 1977. Case in point, and I won't go into a rant too long, but the whole concept of the midichlorians. Even back in the day when I first encountered it, I was like, what the fuck are you talking about? I mean, the Force was this mystical thing that united the bonded the universe together, and now you're talking about some fucking space bugs? What the fuck is that about? And I've ranted about this before in other shows, so I'm not going to get back into it. It's a black hole that if I climb down into it, I'll never get out. Anyways, because things haven't connected quite right, outside of Rogue One, but I think because things haven't connected just right, I felt that it was time for me to hang up my blaster and to give the Star Wars to a new generation, to my kids' generation, who do, as a matter of fact, enjoy the prequels because it was made for them. They were little when they first started watching them, and they are truly entertained and enjoyed by my tykes. In the new movies, as much as I enjoyed The Force Awakens, I can't say that the Last Jedi was great. There were some moments there that I thought were fantastic, but overall, I didn't. I was like, "What the hell are we doing here? Why?" I understand that we have to deconstruct, but we're not deconstructed in the way that I would have done it. Anyways, it's not hitting the mark. It's time for me to let it go, or so I thought. But it's interesting when you're in a 40-year-old, 30-plus-year love affair with something or someone, is that because you know it so well that if you catch a glimmer of hope, there is enough back history there to pull you back in. And I think that's what The Mandalorian did. It's cheeky. It's fun. It doesn't take itself too seriously. And it reminds me truly of what the original trilogy was about. It's just, it's campiness, it's serious campiness, and I am digging it. And also, Baby Yoda fucking rocks. And all of a sudden, I catch myself talking to my wife, and I'm like, we gotta watch the next episode. You know, our schedules are so hectic and crazy that sometimes we don't have an evening to just sit down and watch The Mandalorian, and we keep on telling ourselves, we got to do this. It's become a show to watch now. And I cannot remember the last time I was this excited. Well, actually, I do. It was The Force Awakens. I can't remember the last time I was this excited about, you know, watching something that involves the Star Wars. And so I'm dipping my foot back into it. And I think the Mandalorian has helped me reconnect with what it was about the original Star Wars that I enjoyed so much. And it's the fact that in it, there were life lessons that I learned, and it was easy learning. Star Wars made some things easy learning. So the reason for this podcast is I wanted to go through the IMDb page for The Empire Strikes Back and just go over some of the lines in that movie and kind of tell you how they've influenced me over life, how they come into play, how I use them to this day, and how I think I will always continue to use them. So with that being said, let's start with the quotes version of IMDb. You can follow along if you're playing the home game. And we'll start with this, with Luke. "All right, I'll give it a try." Yoda, "No. Try not. Do or do not. There is no try." Now, I have used this just as recently as 2 days ago. I'm coaching basketball, and a lot of I go up there with my board, and I tell the young folks that I'm coaching, "Hey, listen, we're going to do this, we're going to do that," and I get from them this response of, "We'll try." And for me, there is no try. Go out there and do it. Will you fail? Perhaps. If you take that shot and not make it, will everybody look at you and think, "What the heck did he do? Was he trying to do?" But you gotta try. You gotta go out there and do it, because trying is self-defeatist in a way. And so, oftentimes, when I'm talking to myself or when I'm talking to young people about doing something, I understand that the possibility for failure is there, but the act of doing is really the best thing. And so I tell you, go out there and do things, not just try them out. Princess Leia, "Why, you stuck-up, half-witted, scruffy-looking nerf herder." Han Solo, "Who's scruffy-looking?" Two things right there. When I was a young kid, and again, this is Empire Strikes Back, so I probably watched this when I was 10 or 11 years old, I got it in my head that women, and the only, the women enjoyed the roguish, scruffy types. And it's from this movie that the word scruffy is something that I often use to describe myself when I'm letting my beard grow a little bit. And I enjoy stepping out the door looking scruffy, because I feel to a certain degree I'm in that roguish, that I look appealing in that way. But better yet is that Han Solo answer. And again, it's a stupid line if you really think about it. Who's scruffy looking? But that's me to a certain degree in a nutshell. it's the understanding of like all of this other shit that she just said around him, the half-witted, the nerf herder and all of that. But he chose the one that was the silliest to complain about. And I think that's me in a nutshell. That's part of my humor, is the fact that I can, you know, excuse away all these other things and pinpoint and pick the thing that is the wittiest response. I'm not saying I'm 100%. If you talk to me, you'll understand that I have a lot of faux pas when it comes to talking. But I'm pretty well known for my wit. And a big part of that is just picking out the right little bit, the comedic note that's going to hit in the right way at the right time. And it's something that I really enjoy about myself. And I think that to a certain degree, it comes from exchanges like that. Han Solo, as Chewie tries to fight off the Imperials and free Han. No, stop, Chewie. Stop, Chewie. Chewie, Chewie, this won't help me. Hey, save your strength. There'll be another time. The princess, you have to take care of her. You hear me, huh? Leia and Han share a passionate kiss before Han is dragged towards the freezing chamber by the Imperials. Princess Leia, I love you. Han Solo, I know. Fucking A. Come on, that's pretty fucking badass. Now, I would never say that myself. Actually, no, I'll take that back. I do say it, but I say it sarcastically. Everybody talks about this being a boss move, and yes, it is. I am no Han Solo. I couldn't get away with that. She says, I love you, I will say it, I love you too. You know, when we're in that moment of passion or when we're trying to be serious, I will always say I love you. I'm not a ditto guy. But I will say it sarcastically, and I have said it, you know, over the years to my wife and to other people that I truly, truly feel impassioned for. And I've always been a believer that you can love more than, you know, people in different sorts of ways. And whenever I feel close to somebody and I want a kid, that's probably the default line that I will go to. And I love it. All right. Using the Force, Yoda effortlessly frees the X-Wing from the bog. Luke says, I don't believe it, Yoda. That is why you fail. Yep. It's the concept of understanding what could be and not being self-limiting. And Yoda taught me that. Now, again, I'm not perfect. And then there's a lot of times when I just look at the odds. Interesting. I look at the odds and think, how the fuck am I going to make this happen? But then let's go to this next line from the movie. C-3PO is talking to Han and he says, sir, the possibility of successfully navigating an asteroid field is approximately 3,720 to 1. Han Solo, never tell me the odds. Now, this is foolhardy, actually. You should know the odds. And if you're going to be a grown-up, you should understand the risks that you are taking. But at the same time, there is something to be said about gut and intuition and acting, even if you'll fail, in accordance to your true north. And I really try to do that. And there's been a lot of times in my life when people have said, this is not going to work. And it's a personal challenge that by hook or by crook, I'll figure out a way to do it or at least come close. Because that's the whole thing, though. It's a misnomer that, hey, you have to always succeed at what you attempt. No. But there's growth and learning in making that attempt. By acting, by moving forward, by taking those first steps, you will learn something. You will gain something. Now, that may be good and bad. It all depends on your perspective. But it is in acting that we live life. And so, yes, you shouldn't be foolhardy. And also, if you're responsible for others, you should, you know, really consider what the odds are. And so should you be understanding of it. But I like the overall thought of, listen, I know myself and I know better. And I think that I can accomplish this. You have to be disciplined in how you use that. But I think it's that concept of acting and being a proactive actor in life that is the bigger lesson to learn from there. Yoda, I am wondering why you're here. Luke, I'm looking for someone. Yoda, looking? Found someone you have. I would say, Luke, right. Yoda, Help you, I can. Yes. Mm-hmm. Luke, I don't think so. I'm looking for a great warrior. Yoda, oh,
great warrior.
Laughs and shakes his head. Wars not make one great. Again, you know, we think that again, without getting into the entire dynamic of men and women, the concept that you have to have lived a harsh life to glean lessons from it, not necessarily. There are many ways to go about life learning. And I don't think as a society we do a great job of giving those in academia the praise for expanding our understanding of things from the classrooms, from deep thought, from philosophy and debate. Is the fact that we give, we think that only those who are great and who are great are those who have actually withstood live fire. And that's not necessarily the case. There's a lot of ways that we as a society are going to continue on, and that is by embracing the more learned, the more erudite side of us and giving that importance. We have finite resources in this world, and wars are temporary fixes to supply your people with resources, if that's even what your goal is. But at the end of the day, it's foolhardy because we all live in the same little island. And it would be best if I think the moment that we'll turn the real corner as a peoples is when we decide that education, knowledge, is the way to glean better answers and to create a better life for all of us. Now, I know that's pie in the sky, but it's, again, part of the reason why the Star Wars was important, you know, was so important to me at a young age, because it planted that seed that through the use of something like the Force, in deep thinking, in deep meditation, that you could gain a new level of understanding that would be better for all. Luke can't levitate his X-Wing out of the bog and says, Luke, I can't. It's too big. That's what she said. Anyways, Luke, I can't. It's too big. Yoda, size matters not. Look at me. Judge me by my size, do you? And well, you should not, for my ally is the Force, and a powerful ally it is. Life creates it, makes it grow. Its energy surrounds us and binds us. Luminous beings are we, not discrete matter. You must feel the Force around you, here, between you, me, the tree, the rock, everywhere. Yes, even the land and the ships. Fucking A. When I was a kid, I ate that up. Like, oh my gosh, I just ate that up. Because I was raised Catholic. My parents were religious folk. In life, I ended up being not religious. I am. I don't, you know, believe any God, for lack of a better term. But I will be fair that I'm not quite sure what I believe in. It's just not a one central deity. But I think Yoda started that. But in this whole concept that the interconnectedness of it all, Neil deGrasse Tyson has a line akin to this, that talks something about the fact that we are stardust, that we are of the universe, that we are made of the same things that creates the stars and the nebula and all the things about this, that it is the gravitational forces that binds us, that binds our atoms and all of that, you know, so that we can be who that we are. And when Yoda says this to Luke, it was an epiphany for me, even as young as I was back then. To help me think, yes, there is something. It's not the Force. It's the shorts. It's not the Force. It's something greater than ourselves that at the same time is still to a certain degree unknown. But we have a connection to it that we may not understand the way that the Jedi do. To me, that was just fantastic, and it was just really it started my mind racing as far as what it could be. And I think to a certain degree, as much as when I'm at my deeper thoughts, I really do think that there is something akin to the Force, and we just don't understand it very well. With that being said, that's the reason why I was so fucking pissed at the midichlorians, because they watered it down. They scienced the shit out of it, and it didn't need to be. Or maybe it did. Maybe that's how Star Wars grew up, but as a franchise. But for me, somebody who enjoys that line of thinking, I guess it watered down the myth. With that being said, I guess it also talks about the fact that, you know, what's that old adage, you know, don't stand too close to the ballet because it ruins the effect of its beauty. That's one of the tricky parts about trying to understand further things that are mysteries, is that once you unravel the mystery, you may not actually find that the answer is all of that interesting. And that's a shame. And that's growing up to a certain degree, right? The things that they gave you so wonder, once you really discover what they are, they start to be, they seem less than. And perhaps that's where we as adults become jaded, because the wonder of what was in our mind is gone. And that sucks. All right, let's move forward here. Let's see. Yoda, ready are you? What do you know of ready? For 800 years have I trained Jedi. My own counsel will I keep on who is to be trained. A Jedi must have the deepest commitment, the most serious mind. This one, a long time I have watched. All his life he has looked away, to the future, to the horizon. Never his mind on where he has. Mm-hmm. What was he doing? Mm-hmm. Adventure? Mm-hmm. Excitement? Mm-hmm. A Jedi craves none of these things. You are reckless. I always thought that Yoda was being a little unfair. Because Luke had just started this journey. But what this line represents to me is this whole concept of how hard the beginning to anything is. To any endeavor. Let's talk about podcasting. I am by far, as you can tell from this recording, I am not great at it. There's a lot of sidestepping that I have in my recordings. I take a lot of tangents. I have a lot of pauses. Sometimes what I think, it sounds fantastic in my head, it doesn't translate very well to the recording. There's a lot of things that I still have to learn. And also, I am not using the best equipment. It's a very simple rig. And I often listen to your podcast. A lot of you guys who listen to mine, I listen to yours. And I am at an awe and wonder of how crisp your voices are, and how well produced your shows are, and how you do introduce audio and ideas and stories that truly create these immersive listening sessions. And I wish to a certain degree that I had your abilities and your skills and your talents. But I'm pretty sure that when you started this endeavor, or if you're a writer, or if you're, you know, a fighter, or you're a teacher, or you're a pilot, whatever it is that you do, there was a point in time when you were not good at it. You went to your first lesson, and it fucking sucked. You were uncoordinated, whatever you wrote didn't make any sense, or didn't have any shape, any true shape or form, or if you're a media creator, you're a painter, or you're somebody who draws, your first attempt looked like a bunch of jiggling lines that made absolutely no sense. You wanted to call it new art, but it really wasn't. Abstract art, but it really wasn't. You sucked. You sucked at the very beginning. We all do in the very beginning. There are things that I am now really, really good at, that there was a time when I was completely lost. When I first started in real estate, I remember my first day of not knowing what the terms were, not understanding who the different players in a transaction were, how money moved in deals, how we went about, you know, creating value, determining value for properties. There were 1,000 things that I did not know. And also on top of it, since it was a new job, just the overall stress of feeling like if I didn't catch up and catch up soon, I would get fired right away. If you were to fast forward, well, if you fast forwarded a year afterwards, I was swimming in the language and just having the time of my life to the point that it would end up being my career. So it is the concept of you got to start from somewhere. And in the very beginning, it's not going to be very good. But if you keep at it, if you continue to it, if you're not reckless, you're going to end up being all right if you really commit yourself to to what it is that you want to accomplish. All right, let's move forward here on the lines. Darth Vader. Kneeling before Emperor Palpatine's hologram. What is thy bidding, my master? Emperor Palpatine, there is a great disturbance in the Force. Darth Vader, I have felt it. Emperor Palpatine, we have a new enemy, the young rebel who destroyed the Death Star. I have no doubt this boy is the offspring of Anakin Skywalker. Darth Vader, how is that possible? Emperor, search your feelings, Lord Vader. You will know it to be true. He could destroy us. Vader, he's just a boy. Obi-Wan can no longer help him. Palpatine, the Force is strong with him. The son of Skywalker must not become a Jedi. Vader, if he could be turned, he would become a powerful ally. Palpatine, yes, he would be a great asset. Can it be done? Vader, he will join us or die, Master. When I was a kid, not knowing how the movie would end, this both angered me about these two and also scared the shit out of me about Palpatine, which back then he wasn't called Palpatine. He was just the Emperor. I hated him, the Emperor, and I was so frightened of Vader. He was this looming voice with that wonderful, well, he had this wonderful, rich voice that just bounced back and forth in my head. And I wouldn't have nightmares, but I would have these thoughts of Vader twisting my mind and turning me to the dark side. I often joke with my kids, you know, that whenever they're, you know, doing anything unsavory, that they're turning to the dark side. And of course, when they were very little, they were, no, we would never turn to the dark side. I'm like, oh, yes, you would. If I offered you candy or, you know, we did this or we did that, you would turn to the dark side. And they've always been afraid of it. But that's me joking around in the same way that my dad used to joke around with me that that if I started to mess around, I would eventually end up like Darth Vader. And back in the day, that was truly a bad sentence. I would not want to turn into a Darth Vader. That would be the ultimate punishment for a good kid like me. And so I spent a good deal of time watching this movie the first time around, just dreading Vader on the screen and afraid of what he would do to the good guy, to Luke. I was never really concerned with Han. I knew that he would make it somehow. And Princess Leia, I did not understand it the first time that I watched A New Hope. I kind of started feeling something in Empire Strikes Back, especially when Leia and Luke kissed. That switched something in my brain that I did not understand, but I knew something had switched on. Yeah, and I know that there's some creepiness there after the fact. But remember, this was the first time that I was watching the movie. And I will say that it solidified. Because again, if I watch A New Hope at age 10, and I watched Empire around 10. They probably would have been around 13 when I watched the last Return of the Jedi. And by that point, when Bikini Leia came about, I knew what that switch that had turned on was at this point. And, well, I mean, she's the stuff of dreams are made of, you know. So, but that's neither here nor there. I will say that I knew that Han would be all right. Leia was just cutie pie, but that I did not quite understand. But Luke needed to be protected and being taken care of. And if Darth was out on the prowl to get him, that was a problem for me and something that I wouldn't be okay with. There's a ton of other lines here, and I don't want to go too long. More than anything, I think you guys get the sense of what it is about this franchise and these first two movies, New Hope and Empire Strikes Back, what they mean to me. Return of the Jedi is not my favorite. Now, of course, there's that one scene that everybody knows where Darth comes out. And if you haven't seen the movies, I won't spoil it for you. I think that it's important to watch that on your own. Although I'm fairly certain that, you know, most of you guys listening know how the movie ends or what's the climactic moment of the movie. But very few films have ever fucked with me the way that Empire does, from the standpoint of what is up is down and life is not the same afterwards. And you think I'm being facetious. You think that, oh, come on, guys. Come on, Hugo. It's just a movie. No, this truly changed my life. Like I said, Darth was this looming, terrible creature that wanted to twist the good guy. In a few moments ago, I talked about, you know, my religious upbringing and the fact that my parents truly believed in good and evil, and that you could be seduced by terrible things and turn into a terrible, terrible person. Prior to the Star Wars, I watched Pinocchio with my parents, and that moment where one of the kids who's drinking beer and smoking cigars turns into a donkey right in front of Pinocchio's eyes, and then Pinocchio all of a sudden gets the ears and the tail. That was fucking frightening. It's one of the scariest things that I have ever seen. I kid you not, there's a Disneyland ride that is the Pinocchio part of it. I would not go into it. I couldn't. It would freak me the fuck out because I felt that could be me. I could end up in the island of Lost Boys. And so I was extremely susceptible. I was not a very bright kid. Anyways, so that idea of breaking bad when I was 8, 9, or 10 years old was just too much. And so for Darth to tell Luke who he is, the implications of that were astronomical. Because at that point, I had a sense, so I was starting to have a sense that life was going to be a bit more complicated than what my parents were telling me. That black and white, good or bad, weren't the only things that were available. That there was an spectrum of things. That behaviors are good and bad depending on where you're at on that spectrum and what your own code happens to be. And that moment, to a certain degree, clarified it for me that there was a lot more to the story that meets the eye. And that in my life, I needed to be on the lookout for things like that. When I say that it changed my life, I think that that moment made me suspicious, turned me suspicious about all sorts of different things, of seeing the duality in people, including my own, understanding that I'm a good person who's very flawed, and sometimes I don't choose the best things, and I turn to the dark side. But there are oftentimes when I'm quite righteous, just for the standpoint of being righteous, and I try to be the best Yoda-like figure that I can be. And there's this back and forth and this tug of war of Hugo over the course of the last 30 years of which side am I going to land more on? I think based on my recordings and my writings, and some of you who know me in real life, you come to understand that I follow more on this path of the righteous. But there, when I'm bad, I'm not a very good person. I'm not a very nice person. The thing is that I recognize that I'm not, and so I make the effort to change. Anyways. That's a long way to go to just tell you that Star Wars is awesome. Yes, we're not at 100%. I'm not ready to commit back to the Star Wars. But I am enjoying The Mandalorian. I am digging it. I think if you can, you should watch it. Should you go out there and get Disney Plus just for it? I don't know the answer to that. That's your own personal economy. But, you know, we had the extra bucks to spare, so why the heck not? But that's the recording for today. Thank you for joining me. If you're liking the show, please let other people know about it. Pass on the good word so that they can hear these silly thoughts in my interviews, which I have some really interesting things coming up here soon. But with all that being said, may the Force be with you. Peace.